This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
Buffalo's own, the editor-in-chief at Raw Story, Dave Leventhal. Dave, good morning.
Good morning to you, Joe Beamer.
Dave, it's been a busy week, but something that we have to talk about before we get into politics. I need your prediction for the game that kicks off at 4:25.
I mean, there's only one prediction to be had, and that is a Bills victory. I mean, we know what is at stake here. We know that a win will put us where we need to be, which is on the precipice of the playoffs. And, you know, the alternative is a little bit bleak, not game over, but pretty darn close. So I'm going to say Buffalo Bills 34 and the Cowboys 21.
I like that. I like that prediction. Yeah, I mean, this is how into, like, you know, deciding the playoff things I am. I paid $4 for a month of the New York Times during a promotion they were doing just so I could have the playoff machine.
Well, you know, I mean, I think you're probably not alone, even if some people are having to swallow hard to subscribe to the New York Times. Nevertheless, it's going to be something that will, you know, help their Bills fandom maybe just that little bit more.
Yeah, that playoff machine is something else. Well, Dave, we have a lot to get into, and I want to actually start with something we talked about in the 10:30 segment here locally and then work to nationally, and that is the New York State redistricting. I mean, this is something that I'm sure eyes are on in Washington.
Eyes are on like crazy because it in a 2024 election context next year, it could very well mean the balance of the House. And that's not an overstatement. I mean, we're talking about a Republican majority right now that is a hair's breadth away from becoming a Democratic majority. And it only is going to require the flipping of a couple seats one way or another for one party or the other to have power in the House going into the next congressional session. So when we're talking about potentially 2, 3, 4 Democratic seats that don't exist right now, then that's huge. And of course, the math is complicated, and you've got 435 seats all across the country that are going to be run. But nevertheless, when it's really going to come down likely to just a couple of dozen seats all around the country, that's some serious numbers going in the direction of the Democrats. So Republicans are going to have to grapple with that. They're going to have to grapple with that pretty hardcore. And it just makes that 2024 election that much more fraught for both parties as a result of these new maps that are likely going to be drawn and need to be filed by the end of February.
Anywhere else in the country where districts were challenged that we're going to see new districts for 2024?
Yeah, well, there have been challenges around the country, and you know, I don't have the map directly in front of me, but huge swaths of the South are ones that have been at issue, not recently, meaning the past few days, but over the past many months. And off the top of my head, North Carolina is a big one, Maryland is a big one, and Alabama is a big one. So, you know, you've got a number of different variables here going into the election that do go beyond New York State. So depending on the results that exist right now, plus any changes that are ordered up between now and the election, I mean, we could be looking at a fairly different map than we would have expected absent these court challenges.
Well, we will keep our eye on that, Dave. Now to D.C., where, you know, it's right before the holiday time, but I always talk about how people, you know, are only doing 50% of their work. But it seems like in D.C., everyone is actually deciding to work right before the holiday recess. And we will start with Hunter Biden was supposed to talk to Congress. He says he wants to talk to Congress, but just in a public forum. How did this go down?
Well, I should know, first of all, that not everyone does want to do their work. I mean, that the House is already getting out of Dodge here and going home. So, you know, if you're looking for everyone to be toiling up until Christmas Eve or something, not so much. But there's been a flurry of action, at least up until this point, in the House and the Senate side and throughout Washington in general. The Hunter Biden drama just charges forward, and we've got really two things that are so intimately interrelated going on at the same time on somewhat parallel tracks. Number one is as you mentioned, the hearing that didn't happen with Hunter Biden, where Hunter Biden came to Washington, D.C. He is in the midst of a very, very public and very high-stakes spat with a House committee that wants him to testify. Hunter Biden wants to testify in public. The committee is saying, no, 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 we want you to testify in private. And this may go down in a way where Hunter Biden could potentially be held in contempt of Congress if he doesn't adhere to the rules of the road that the House itself is setting forward as controlled by Republicans. And the other track is the Joe Biden impeachment inquiry, which is now officially underway. It doesn't mean that Joe Biden is being impeached. This doesn't mean that an impeachment vote has been taken. But what it does is it formalizes an investigation process into whether Joe Biden has risen to the constitutional standard of committing any type of, quote, high crime or misdemeanor. And so this is something that is highly controversial, because even some Republicans acknowledge that there is no evidence at this point that indicates that Joe Biden has done that. But this is going to be a process that will find out if any such high crime or misdemeanor has taken place. And what would those high crimes and misdemeanors be? Well, at least in large part, this is being driven by whether Joe Biden has personally benefited from Hunter Biden's various business dealings. And mind you, Hunter Biden is in a world of trouble. He's somebody who is facing federal criminal investigations and very well could have a penalty that would be incredibly serious, up to and going to jail. But at the same time, impeachment, well, this is not a legal process. This is a purely political process. And anyone who ever paid attention to the Bill Clinton impeachment process or the Donald Trump impeachment process knows that all too well, that impeachment is driven by politics. It's not driven by the law in a criminal court context. So as a result, Republicans are going to plow forward with this, and whether they ultimately get to an impeachment remains to be seen. And there are definitely some Republicans who are very wary of going in that direction, especially during an election year, Joe.
Speaking of the inquiry, what was the...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
Vote, was it right along party lines? Was there anyone that went against party lines?
It was right along party lines, and that was at the committee level. But I think a big question here is whether that would stay true if ultimately this does get to a full vote of the U.S. House of Representatives on the question of whether Joe Biden should be impeached, which would mean that if he is impeached, and it all simply takes a majority vote. Now, we're not talking super majorities here. You don't need two-thirds. You just need a simple majority to impeach a president of the United States. If that was to happen, then this would go ostensibly to the U.S. Senate for a trial. And we can almost certainly say at this point in time, even with so many things left to happen, that the Senate would absolutely in no way, shape, or form convict Joe Biden because the votes are just simply not there. You need a two-thirds vote to convict somebody in an impeachment trial in the U.S. Senate, and that's just not going to happen. It's a Democratic-controlled Senate, and some Republicans might vote against it, too. But I think the big question to go back to the House is whether there would be some Republicans who would defect and who would not vote with the vast majority of Republicans to go forward and impeach Joe Biden. There may be some who just say, nope, that's a bridge too far for me, and I'm not going to do it.
Now, there was a bill passed in Washington, and that was the defense bill, Dave. What was in this bill? It seems like it took a backseat to everything else that was going on in the news this week.
Yeah, and you know, amazingly so, in normal times, a expenditure, or at least the authorization of expenditures of $885 billion would be pretty darn big news. But in a way, it was a much smaller package that has been getting the headlines, and that's a supplemental bill that would fund efforts in Ukraine and Israel and potentially along the U.S. south border. And that's the one that has been hung up and is still unresolved. The defense package itself is going forward to make sure that the U.S. military has the money and the financial resources it needs to go and do its thing. And that's a whole heck of a lot. So that is effectively signed, sealed, and delivered. But it's going to continue through the holidays, it appears, to determine whether there's going to be additional funding that's going to go forward in earnest for the war efforts and the U.S. support of the war efforts in Ukraine against Russia and to support Israel and in its fight against Hamas. And much of this is contingent indeed on whether the Congress is going to provide support for to the tune of likely tens of billions of dollars on securing the southern border. So these things have been intermingled despite some protests, especially from Democrats. But, you know, Republicans really see this as an opportunity to address a huge priority of theirs, which is securing the southern border. Well, most Democrats are much more focused on the funding for Ukraine. And Joe Biden is a huge proponent of funding and continuing to support funding for Israel. So all of these are together. None of it is solved. And, you know, Merry Christmas to everyone. We're going to be back at this after the holidays.
And when you say after the holidays, Dave, when does Congress get back? Is this like college or is this like high school right after the holiday?
A little more like high school. pardon me. Congress really loves to take vacations. They really love working 3 and 4 day weeks. So wouldn't it be great if we all could have a work life like Congress, right? But they're going to be back pretty soon after the new year. The first week, they're going to be back, and they're not going to be back necessarily in full, and you're not going to have a full work week, especially with the New Year holiday, but they are going to be back at it pretty quickly, and there's going to have to be some sort of resolution pretty quickly, especially on the heels of Ukraine President Volodymyr Zelensky coming to Washington, D.C. just a few days ago, making a plea to Congress, to the White House, to support him. His argument was, look, if you don't support us, if you don't help us, then Russia has a very strong chance of beginning to overrun us. It's been mostly a stalemate for this year in terms of land occupied in Ukraine. And as a result, it's something that has allowed Ukraine to keep Russian aggression at bay, at least when it comes to going toward Kyiv again or coming to other parts of the country. And, you know, Poland and other European countries, they're very wary, too, of anything that's going to be less than the U.S.'s full support, because the great fear is that Russia would just keep going. And whether that's Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, Poland, other countries that border Ukraine or are close to Ukraine, that's something that is a huge concern for those countries in Europe.
Dave, speaking of Congress and Washington and everything going on, this did not surprise me. I don't think it will surprise many people, but you retweeted this, and I got to bring it up. It's from the Pew Research Center. Americans don't favor pretty much anything in Washington favorably. Congress and both of the major parties have unfavorable ratings. Dave, I look at this and say, there are members of these parties that don't even view their own party favorably.
and that's the truth, if you believe what people are saying. And, you know, I'm not surprised by that. Many people here in Washington are not surprised, and I suspect many people in Buffalo are not surprised either, that there's just sort of a malaise that has fallen over the Republican Party. Let's put it this way. If you're a Democrat and you're a pretty blue, true blue Democrat, are you really just that excited about Joe Biden standing for president again in 2024? Well, when you look at the poll numbers, many Democrats are not. Well, of course, they think that Joe Biden is going to be a better president than Donald Trump, were Donald Trump to win the Republican nomination, as it appears likely that he will do. But at the same time, too, Joe Biden has hardly even run a campaign yet, and he's not out there. He's obviously got a lot to do here in Washington, D.C., in the White House in terms of domestic and international affairs, but you know, you got to make a compelling case for yourself as to why you should be the president of the United States above, well, the other guy's worse than me, so vote for me. So there's a certain degree of just, lack of excitement that comes from the Democrats. On the Republican side, I mean, you may love Donald Trump, but it's incessant and it's exhausting. If it's not one criminal trial, it's the second or the third or the fourth one, or the civil trial that Donald Trump may very well lose a huge chunk of his business empire, or any of the other things that are going on, including civil trials that have declared that he committed sexual assault, not a criminal trial. But, you know, it's just one thing after another, save for the constant barrage of statements that a lot of people, even on the Republican side that I talk to, are like, oh, this is not helping our cause, such as when Donald Trump says, oh, yeah, you know, first day in office is president again. I'd love to be a dictator on the first day. Well, you know, is that really all that democratic? Many Republicans are saying, not the best thing to say. So put that all together and you have, especially going into this presidential race, just I think a pall that has kind of fallen over the race because do people really want Donald Trump, Joe Biden 2.0? You know, the two old guys from the last election, 4 years older, running again against each other. That's a real thing, and that's a real concern that is being reflected in the opinions of people who are offering those opinions up in polls that are being taken, such as this.
Speaking of the former president, the prosecutor of the January 6th case is looking for help from the Supreme Court. When should we know the results of that case?
Likely pretty quickly, at least in terms of what the Supreme Court is going to do. And it remains to be seen exactly where this is going to go. But that is definitely something that is, a huge twist in drama here. I mean, Jack Smith, the special prosecutor, he wants answers and he wants a clear path. And part of this is motivated by the fact that Donald Trump has four criminal cases against him that are effectively simultaneous, but he can't be four places at once. So there needs to be some sort of semblance of a sane schedule. And mind you, this is all going to be going on in a legal sense while Donald Trump is running for president in a political sense. So the swirl of the combining factors here is one that makes for a absolute scheduling nightmare, but it also too has some very profound of political ramifications as to whether Donald Trump is going to be able to run a full and free campaign in the midst of these criminal trials that are going to be taking place as soon as early next year.
Now, you wrote a piece over on Raw Story. Healthcare nonprofits are accepting millions from big tobacco. I mean, the headline itself shows some cause for concern. What is going on, Dave?
Yeah, we obtained a document, reviewed it, and it indicates it's a corporate governance document from the big tobacco company Altria. And they make millions and millions of dollars of charitable contributions every year. That's something that's known, and it's not uncommon for large companies to do that. But what was fascinating about this particular document was that there were more than a dozen health organizations, nonprofit organizations, that were the recipients of charity from Altria. And these in many cases were nonprofit organizations that overtly advocate against tobacco. So, all right, we decided it would be curious to find out what these nonprofit organizations have to say for themselves. And many just simply didn't want to talk to us. It ostensibly was very embarrassing to them. But basically, you know, Altria has made a concerted effort to pump millions of dollars into organizations that one would say would likely be their enemies. And talked to a number of different people for this story, including a couple of lawyers and professors who are very anti-tobacco and have fought against big tobacco over the years. And they said, well, this is image washing. What they're trying to do is not charity per se, but it's trying to bolster their image by association. If you give, for example, $500,000 to the Red Cross, or you donate to the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, as was the case, or sickle cell operations, or Alzheimer's groups, then it's something that, number one, bolsters your image, but also, number two, may make those organizations think twice about openly criticizing Big Tobacco or Altria because there's a financial relationship that has been struck there. So believe what you want to believe, but these are the facts of the matter that Big Tobacco is definitely doing this and is doing it as recently as this year.
Fascinating stuff, Dave. And make sure you go and read that. It's Busted. Healthcare nonprofits are accepting millions from Big Tobacco. You can find that and much, much more from our friend Dave Leventhal at rawstory.com. Dave, enjoy the game today. And I think this is the last time we'll speak on air. So have a very Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, too. And of course, go Bills.
Go Bills.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.